The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes.
We're taking a look at aperitifs. Aperitifs, which have been around for centuries, certainly in Italy, but growing in popularity. And my next guest knows a thing or two about them. Joe Campanelli is the beverage director and owner, co-owner at Dell'Anima, L'Artusi, and Anfora. These are some very popular Italian restaurants here in New York City. He's a former sommelier at Babbo Ristorante. He was a food and wine editor at Debonair Magazine and so much more. He earned his master's degree in food from NYU. And, well, let's just, first of all, say welcome, Joe. Great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we're going to be looking at aperitifs. We've got some Campari here, but I want to start by, first of all, talking about you. What drew you into this industry? And I will say, I worked in the restaurant industry for many years, mostly in San Francisco and Seattle. I waited tables, I attended bar, I loved working in restaurants. It was fun, and, you know, I never ran one or not so much of a back-of-the-house person, so I have a huge fondness for them. What drew you to the industry?
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I think that everyone should work in the restaurant industry at some point in their life. It builds a lot of character.
Got to know how to hustle, too.
That's right. And it builds patience in you. But I was drawn to the restaurant industry just by going to school in downtown New York City. And I went to NYU and being completely in love with food. I actually thought I might go into law or politics, but I found that I was writing all of my politics and history papers about food and taking all of my jobs in the food industry. I worked, you know, I started as an intern in the kitchen at Union Square Cafe, and I thought that would just be a hobby. And then I took a part-time job at Italian Wine Merchants. And next thing I knew, I was getting my master's in food studies and working as a sommelier at Babbo Restaurant, which is this really outstanding restaurant downtown.
And Joe Campanelli, I guess you've got some Italian in your background.
That's right. My father's side is from southern Italy, but I was really brought up by my mom, who's a New Yorker through and through. And I definitely connected with being a New Yorker until visiting Italy, and discovering Italy through food and wine really gave me a connection that I didn't realize that I had to that side of my family.
Well, you know, and even those of us who don't, I don't have any Italian in me, but I will say I came to New York 20-some years ago, and when I got here, the French restaurant was still the top tier of restaurants, right? But over that couple of decades, starting, I would say, 10, 15 years ago, is with the rise of Italian restaurants and all things Italian when it comes to food and wine. And now you are certainly riding that wave.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Italian restaurants became a lot more popular, and then new American restaurants, and I think Spanish. People are discovering Spanish food now very much as well. But there's something about Italy that really seems to connect with Americans. I mean, there are a ton of Italian immigrants that came and settled here in America, like my father's side of the family. And Italy is a very popular vacation destination for Americans. And there's something about their culture and that we just totally connect with. So I don't think that, you know, depending on what restaurant culture or type of food is hot at the moment, I always think that the Italian food is going to still be there.
Now, tell us about aperitifs, because it's also interesting to think about it. A lot of Americans still don't even drink much wine, let alone aperitifs. Americans tend to be more beer drinkers, or at least had been, spirits drinkers, you know, vodka, bourbon, etc. How do you define an aperitif? What is an aperitif?
Okay, I'm going to answer your question, but the one thing that I would say is that, and I'm so excited about this, this is the first year that America has consumed more wine than any other country in the entire
world.
That's
right. We just Courtney Donahoe. Oh, yeah. Good for us. Courtney had Donahoe kind of reported on that yesterday during the show. Yeah, big milestone.
So that's exciting. So I think per capita, we're still far behind France, Spain, and Italy. But we're catching up. They're drinking less and less, and we're drinking more. And now the goal is just for everyone to drink better stuff as well. But I define an aperitif as something that you drink before your meal, before dinner. It comes from the Latin word aperire, which means to open. And for me, an aperitif is different from a typical American cocktail in that it's something that is lighter and more refreshing, a lower alcohol. And typical Italian aperitifs are based on bitter herbs and spices, and they have these medicinal roots that come from the the ancient monastic tradition of you know, administering something to help with healing, help with opening up your stomach, closing your stomach. And so that's where.
What is the alcohol? Is it, was at least like a 60 proof for an aperitif or lower? 30, 40?
I think 60 proof or 30% alcohol is probably the top end. So the Campari, which we have right here, is right at that. But oftentimes it's blended with either it's put on the rocks and it waters down a little bit, or with soda water or sparkling wine, or blended with sweet red vermouth, which all lowers the alcohol.
And which is great, because especially if you're having a drink before dinner and you're going to have a long dinner and drink wine, you don't want too much alcohol at once, so there it's a great beverage. It seems also one of the reasons aperitifs are getting more popular is because the cocktails have always been around, and I tend to bar. I love to make drinks, and I think I'm pretty good at it. But still, there is such, I won't say resurgence of cocktails, but there's the whole drinking of cocktails and the kind of interesting drinks you can get when you go to a bar. It seems like it's perfect for aperitifs. You know, Campari, of course, the classic is the Negroni, but these kinds of these inputs are being used in a lot of different ways in drinks now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that the cocktail, there's a somewhat of a revolution, at least in the industry we like to think there is, but this cocktail, extreme and deep interest in it, it goes hand in hand with our paying a lot more attention to food. And I think that these aperitif cocktails are even more relevant now, because as we're eating lighter, fresher, more seasonal sort of foods, a lighter drink makes a lot more sense with that.
Okay, and Catherine Cowdery is busy, but she too can have a sip, and we're going to sip our Campari now, and then we're going to...
Okay, so we're sipping Campari, and for those of you who don't know out there, Campari is the quintessential Italian aperitif. It's the base of the Negroni cocktail, and it was invented by a man named Gasperi Campari in the 1800s. And basically, what would happen at the time in northern Italy is that every little bar and cafe would have their own maitre liquorista, and it would be someone who would be an expert in herbs and spices and fruit peels, and they'd create their own. These were the first mixologists, because they would create their own bitter herbal drinks. And the point of that would be to attract people to come to their cafe over another one. And Gasperi Campari was the most famous of the time and created the Campari. This is what his concoction that he's most famous for, and it's endured.
Now, and it's interesting, you know, and I have Campari. I must say, though, Campari soda has never been my favorite drink, because I didn't like the bitter so much in the past. Now I find, I don't know if my palate's changed, maybe I'm like a lot of other people who are getting more used to the bitter. Mm-hmm. And again, when there's so many ways that you take that bitter taste, a Campari, another aperitif, and blend it with other things, and a skilled creative bartender comes up with some really cool drinks.
No, that's true. I mean, and there's a million different ways to serve Campari. I really like it in a cocktail called Negroni Spagliato, which is the broken or wrong Negroni. And basically, instead of gin, you use sparkling wine. So it's Campari, sweet red vermouth, and sparkling wine. But if you like something a little bit sweeter, you can do Campari and orange juice. If you like something a little bit stronger, you can do, you know, it actually blends well with vodka.
Well, of course, Negroni is a gin. And I'm not a big gin drinker, but somehow the combination of Campari and gin works very well. Joe Campanelli, beverage director and owner at Dell'Anima, L'Artusi, and Anfora restaurants here in New York City. The aforementioned Courtney Donahoe is in a house now. So, Courtney, have your little cup, have a little Campari, and we're having a great conversation with Joe Campanelli about aperitifs, what they are, how people are using them in cocktails.
I am so excited.
Yeah,
this will be great.
Well, as a matter of fact, you may, obviously, you're familiar with Campari. Even an Irish girl like Courtney,
yes.
Definitely.
I do have a bottle in
you
my
do?
House.
We'll see. There you go. But Joe is well, first of all, he's going to tell us about some other aperitifs, but listen to the beverage he's going to tell you how to make. Spagliato.
Oh, wow.
The Negroni Spagliato. Okay, so... Hi.
Hello.
I had a few Negroni Spagliatos before I got here. So the Negroni is the quintessential aperitif cocktail in Italy, and actually now in New York, we're seeing a ton of Negronis popping up. There's a great restaurant called Del Posto downtown that's doing a barrel-aged Yeah, they're doing a barrel-aged Negroni. There's a restaurant not too far from here called The Lincoln. They have their own Negroni list. But the typical Negroni cocktail is equal parts Campari, gin, and sweet red vermouth. But one of my favorites is called the Spagliato. And the story goes there was a very popular bar, and the bartender was making drinks very quickly and accidentally grabbed a bottle of Prosecco instead of his gin and poured that in and didn't notice it till it was too late, and the patron ended up loving it. And so Spagliato means the broken or wrong or incorrect Negroni. And it's one of my favorites, and I think it really embodies this idea of aperitivo because it's even a little bit lighter than a typical Negroni.
Sure.
Really refreshing. It makes your mouth water, gets you really hungry, and quenches your thirst while making you thirsty at the same time.
Now, with that drink, so it's the Campari and Prosecco, for example, yeah. And
sweet red vermouth.
Okay. So do you do that straight up? Do you do it over ice? How do you...
So typically it would be done over ice.
Okay.
And then something I like to do, which isn't traditional, is I like to shake it. So when you stir a drink, it keeps the texture of whatever spirit is in it. And it, you know, Campari has this beautiful, luscious, soft, round mouthfeel. And when you shake it, it adds thousands of tiny little air bubbles into it. So why I really like shaking the Negroni is that it makes it even lighter and more vibrant and enthusiastic almost. It's just popping out of the glass.
Well, that sounds nice too, because I don't like really sweet drinks.
Oh, same here.
You know, and Prosecco was just sweet enough, I would think, and the vermouth to blend with the bitter of the Campari, right? Mm-hmm. And make a very lovely drink.
I would definitely think that too. That sounds so good.
you said something really interesting earlier about people being more used to this word bitter. And I was talking with the Campari folks because I'm such a fan, and they said that they used to not be able to use the word bitter when they were talking about Campari because they were afraid that it would scare people off in at least in America, and now we're embracing this bitter flavor, and that's something that's totally okay, and it's in our lexicon.
And Pim Fox, also in the house, not drinking Campari. He's going to wait for at least 3 hours.
Yes, at least 3 hours. Well, you know, the thing about bitter is interesting because you're talking about taste buds. And as people age, as the demographic changes, your taste buds, they tarnish. They get more difficult to stimulate. And so you find that bitter, spicier foods are more popular because they hit those receptors on your taste buds. And that is something that as you get older, you know, you need that extra oomph, so to speak.
Ergo, there are other, I mean, we've got the Campari today, but there's so many other aperitifs you're suggesting, I think, Joe, that people might want to try, you know,
right.
Take the plunge.
Now, these are probably the bottles on the back shelf of your liquor store getting all dusty, but I definitely recommend trying them out. One of my favorites is called Aperol, and if you're one of those people who...
Yeah. That's very cool.
That stuff's great and super inexpensive.
What does it taste like? I've never tried it.
It kind of along that bitter sort of taste. I mean, that's what I kind of feel it tastes like.
There's definitely
Aperol.
There's definitely a relation with Campari. But if you're one of those people who's a little bit more afraid of that bitter flavor, Aperol is a good place to start because it's like Campari's sweet little sister. It's
That's what actually somebody suggested to me a while ago because they were saying the Aperol is just a little bit easier to take if you're trying to move into Campari.
Is there an Aperol cocktail I should make or just shake it and serve it straight up or over ice?
Well, the great thing about any of these, Aperol, red vermouth, Campari, even another drink called Chinar, which is artichoke based, is that any of them you can serve straight up, chilled, over ice, with soda water, with sparkling wine. But the typical Aperol drink is called the Aperol Spritz, or Aperol Spritz. And it's something that became very popular in Venice when the Austro-Hungarian Empire was in charge, in control of that whole northeastern area. And they would always drink, in Austria, you drink a lot of spritzes, which is wine and sparkling water. So they found this Aperol, and they would do Aperol with sparkling water and sparkling white wine and an orange twist. And that's the Aperol Spritz, and it's aperitivo time, late afternoon, and you're in Venice or in Friuli, in Udine or Trieste, everyone's drinking these Aperol Spritzes. They're bright orange glasses all over the place.
How do you measure it out? Do you measure it as in volume-wise for a drink? How many shots or ounces or whatever per cocktail?
You know, that's for the Aperol Spritz, it's really interesting because every little town has their own particular measuring system. Some people like more, and it's really sort of town specific. Some like more soda water, some like more sparkling wine. The great thing about any of these drinks is that, and cocktail making in general, is that you can make it just according to your own liking. And if you make a drink and it's, you know, and it's a little bit too sour, add whatever your sweet component is. If it's too sweet, add a little more of your sour, your strong.
Joe Campanelli, thanks for joining us. You're going to have to come back.
Thank you so much. And you're going to have to come to Anfora on Monday nights for Aperitivo Hour.
I'll go with you, Kathleen.
And Courtney. Okay, it's a date. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Hayes Advantage.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to The Hayes Advantage weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.